Chapter 6. Personality and Character. No one can have a pleasing personality without the foundation of a sound, positive character. You may wear the best and latest clothes, and conduct yourself in a most pleasing manner outwardly, but in some way, you telegraph the nature of your character to those with whom you come in contact. There is a great power of attraction in the person who has a positive character, and this power expresses itself in unseen as well as visible ways. The moment you come within speaking distance of such a person, even though not a word is spoken, the influence of the unseen power within makes itself felt. Acquire the habit of making yourself agreeable, and you profit both materially and emotionally, for you will never be as happy in any other way as you will be when you know that you are making others happy. If there is greed and envy and hatred and jealousy and selfishness in your heart, you will never attract anyone except those who are the same. Like attracts like, and you may be sure that those who are attracted to you are those whose inward natures parallel your own. You may present an artificial smile. You may practice handshaking so that you can imitate perfectly the handshake of a person who is adept at this art. But if these outward manifestations of a pleasing personality lack that vital factor called earnestness of purpose, they will turn people away rather than attract them to you. Every shady transaction in which you engage, every negative thought that you think, and every destructive act destroys something within your character. The big prizes of life go to the builders and not to the destroyers. The man who builds a house is an artist. The man who tears it down is a junk man. Selling is an art. The act of selling, when done by a master, may be compared to an artist at an easel. Stroke by stroke, just as an artist develops form and harmony and blends the colors on a canvas, the master salesperson paints a word picture of the thing being offered for sale. The canvas is the imagination of the prospective buyer. The artist first roughly outlines the picture, later filling in the details, using ideas for paint. In the center of the picture, at the focal point, is drawn a clearly defined outline of motive. Just as a painting on a canvas must be based upon a theme or a motive, so must a successful sale. The picture that the master sales artist paints in the mind of the prospective buyer must be more than a mere skeleton outline. Details must be perfected, so the prospect not only sees the picture in perspective as a finished whole, but the picture must be pleasing. Motive is the thing that determines how pleasing the picture can be made. Amateurs and little children may draw a rough picture of a horse that can be recognized to be the picture of a horse. But when the master artist draws a picture of a horse, those who see it not only recognize it as a horse, but they also exclaim, "How wonderful! It is like it is alive." The artist paints action, reality, and life into the picture. An inefficient salesperson hurriedly sketches a crude outline of the thing he or she wishes to sell, leaving motive out of the picture. That kind of salesman says, "See, there it is, as plain as the nose on your face. Now, will you buy?" But the prospective buyer does not see what the salesperson has kept hidden within their own mind. Or the buyer may see, but does not feel. The buyer is not moved to action by any rough sketch or unfinished, lifeless picture. No seed of desire has been planted in the buyer's mind, no appeal to motive. The master salesperson paints another picture. The master omits no detail. He or she mixes word colorings so that they blend with harmony and symmetry that capture the prospective buyer's imagination. The master salesperson builds the picture around a motive which dominates the entire scene, putting the prospective buyer's own mind to work. That is master salesmanship. A little while ago, a salesman came to sell me life insurance. As everyone knows, life insurance is an abstract, intangible, and one of the hardest things in the world to sell. You cannot see it, you cannot smell it, taste it, feel it, or sense it through any of the five senses. In addition, you must die in order to profit by it. Even then, the profit goes to someone else. But this salesperson was a thorough professional. Through study and preparation, he had to familiarize himself with the motives that most quickly and effectively appeal to the majority of prospective purchasers of life insurance. He had prepared himself to analyze his prospective buyers accurately in order to figure out which motive was best suited to each case. His sales presentation was almost as if he had placed before me an invisible canvas. And on this canvas, with only words for brushes, he caused me to see an image of myself as I will be when my hair is graying, my shoulders are stooped, my hand trembles, and my walk falters. I do not mean that he actually described that scene, but through a hint dropped here and a well-chosen word mentioned there, I could not help but see that vision in my mind. And what about my dependence? He played that loaded word, dependent, like a master violinist playing upon the strings of a Stradivarius. What about my wife, whose future I would surely want to make secure? Even though she is still a young woman of vigor, beauty, and independence, I was soon getting flashes of myself cold in my coffin and my wife, now frail, aging, and left without means or future security. It takes a real sales artist to paint such a vivid word picture. Master salesmanship consists of a series of picture impressions imprinted on the mind of the prospective buyer through one or more of the five senses. If these word pictures are not clear and distinct, beautifully harmonized, and properly seated with motive, they will not move the prospective buyer to action. Master salespeople paint pictures in the minds of their prospective buyers through as many motives and through as many of the senses as possible. When they can, they supplement the word pictures with real pictures and samples. They know that sales are more easily made when the presentation reaches the mind of the prospective buyer through more than one of the five senses, and when more than one motive for buying has been planted in the buyer's mind. Master salesmanship begins and ends with proper motive. As long as the right motive has been injected into the selling argument, it makes very little difference what happens between the opening and closing of a sale. All selling is like this. People are moved to buy or not to buy because of motive. Base your sales presentation upon the right motive, and your sale is made before you start. Dr. Harper, who sold the streetcar magnate on endowing the building at the university, was not a born salesperson. He was small in physique and unprepossessing in appearance. He became a great salesperson by studying people and the motives that caused them to act. That is exactly what you must do if you want to become a master at sales. You must study people, and you must understand motivation. Just as with artists who work in oils, even though you may be born with talent, you only become a finished artist by studying and mastering technique. Sales artists, too, are made and not born. They become masters by studying technique and motive. They develop expert methods of analyzing buyers and the things they buy. Showmanship. People buy personalities and ideas much more quickly than they buy merchandise. For this very reason, the salesperson who is a good showman makes sales where other salespeople cannot. A good showman is one who can dramatize the commonplace events of life and give them the interesting appearance of uniqueness. Showmanship calls for sufficient imagination to be able to recognize things, peoples, and circumstances that are capable of being dramatized. The life insurance salesperson who is a showman and possesses a magnetic personality sells everything except statistics, and seldom mentions the word policy. He or she does not have to. They deal in ideas, and use them to paint alluring pictures that interest and please the prospective buyers. A good showman makes effective use of enthusiasm. The poor showman knows nothing of enthusiasm, instead trusting to colorless statements of fact and appeals to the prospective buyer's reason. Most people are not influenced by reason. They are swayed by emotion. The salesperson who is not capable of arousing his or her own emotions is not going to appeal to others through their emotional nature. A sales presentation delivered by a person with showmanship is a show all by itself and as interesting as a play or a movie. It carries the prospective buyer through exactly the same mental processes that a good drama does. A salesperson who is an able showman can change the prospective buyer's mind from negative to positive. The master salesperson accomplishes this change of mental attitude not by accident or luck, but by a carefully prearranged plan. Regardless of the state of mind the buyer may be in when approached, an able showman neutralizes the mind of the prospective buyer. And what is more important, the able showman knows enough not to try to close the sale until this change has been successfully effected. If you are a gardener, you cannot grow plants without preparation of the soil before the seed is sown. If you are a salesperson, you can't plant the seed of desire in the prospective buyer's mind while that mind is negative. The salesperson who understands showmanship prepares the mind of the prospective buyer as carefully and scientifically as the intelligent gardener prepares the ground. William Burnett took an ordinary sales plan, added showmanship, and turned it into a multi-million-dollar income in less than 5 years. The basic sales plan itself was quite straightforward and, at the time, not at all uncommon. Create a sales force to sell aluminum cookware to housewives. The average order taker salesperson might tell you that the entire plan can be described in one sentence. Burnett is going to get his salespeople to organize clubs of housewives for the purpose of selling them aluminum cookware. A master with a flair for showmanship like Burnett would tell you his plan is to give all the hard-working housewives in the neighborhood a break by throwing a lunch party in their honor. And the best part is that he will do the catering and show them how to make cooking a breeze. How William Burnett's sales plan actually worked was as follows. He would select a nice middle-class neighborhood and make an arrangement to use the home of a local woman who would invite all of her friends and neighbors to a lunch party. All of the expenses would be paid by Burnett's company. There would be gifts and prizes. An elaborate meal would be prepared by Burnett or one of his salespeople in a flashy demonstration of the aluminum ware he was selling. And the hostess would also earn a commission on the orders taken. When you examine this sales plan, it quickly becomes apparent that it is much more creative than simply organizing clubs of housewives for the purpose of selling them aluminum cookware. First, Burnett had developed some very solid sales strategies. 1. Using a local neighborhood hostess was a big help in qualifying and neutralizing the potential buyers. 2. The party atmosphere and the chance to get something for nothing further neutralized the buyers. 3. Having the salesperson do the cooking and serving ensured that the products were being shown off to their best advantage. 4. The lunch party allowed Burnett to get all the neighbors in one place so he could present the product to many buyers all at the same time. By now, most listeners will have recognized that William Burnett's sales plan became the model for many successful companies that sell everything from kitchenware to cleaning products, cosmetics, and even lingerie. And if you've ever attended one of these sales parties, you will also know that it takes showmanship to pull it off. As good a sales plan as it is, if the person running things doesn't have a showman's personality, the event will fall flat, and sales will be even flatter.